Today's RTI Digital Series, happy to be joined by former Tennessee catcher Connor Pavlone as he gets ready to figure out what's next when it comes to his Major League Baseball life. Connor, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on. And congratulations. Walk me through the process of what it was like over the last, 2 to 3 weeks, getting ready for everything that was coming up for the MLB draft, and then trying to sort through everything and finally getting a deal signed with the Orioles.
It was kind of, one of the more stressful processes, like in terms of just, the week before, it was extremely stressful, not just for me, but like for my family as well. Like, cause day two guys, and the whole draft in general this year, like you really couldn't predict very much. And so, when you're going into it and you don't really know, it just kind of, heightens the level of anxiety that you have, or like some stress maybe. But I'm glad it worked out the way it did, and my agent's happy as well. So at the end of the day, like, they signed me for overslot. That's public information. You could look it up, but they signed me overslot. So, that's kind of what we were looking for. And at the end of the day, I went to a phenomenal organization, and, I've been down here for like a week now, and the guys down here are great. Everybody's so welcoming and so open to help you. I think that's been really big and key into kind of keeping me calm down here and knowing that the people down here will help me just as much as, as much as I need.
Hey, what's that like? I've had some people ask, about different players and what happens after the Major League draft and whatnot. What's that been like for you over the last, you've been down there a week. So what's it been like trying to get everything set up or, working out, getting training done, making sure everything's ready to go? How's that week been so far?
It's been good. When I first got down here, we obviously had to go through COVID protocols. So I had to get tested, even though I'm vaccinated. They tested me, and then I couldn't, I couldn't leave my hotel room until my test came back. And then FedEx delayed my test being mailed, so I had to stay in the hotel for a little bit longer. It was a nice hotel, so I wasn't too worried about it. But it was just kind of, I was ready to go, I think was the biggest thing. But it's been kind of, handled by everybody else. I signed the contract in the hotel because I wasn't, cleared to go out. I couldn't go. I think it was an off day when I signed, so the facility wasn't open. And I kind of just wanted to get it over with, and they had to get paperwork into MLB. So I ended up signing at the hotel room or in the hotel meeting room. It was really cool to just put pen to paper and kind of realize, take a step back and say, I've been, dreaming about this since I was a kid. And so that was a kind of realism moment for me and kind of surreal. And it's something small. Like, it wasn't like a big party or like I didn't go up to Baltimore or anything like that. But it was special to me. And I think that's something I'll remember for the rest of my life, is just putting the pen on that paper. But, it's been kind of a smooth process since I've been down here because I'm kind of centralized. So, like, if they need me, they can just call me. I don't have a car down here, so they just send a bus everywhere to pick us up and take us everywhere. So, but it's been good. And transitioning back into training and getting game ready has been good. And, I'm going to be sore, but at the end of the day, like, I'd rather play than just sit around.
Hey, Connor, what's that like going from, first off, you come off the high of the Major League Baseball, you being signed and having a contract done, but then you're getting right back in it. Like, y'all season, I've had Tennessee fans bring up the baseball season so much over the last 2 to 3 weeks, and you don't really realize, wait a minute, y'all were just in Omaha like last month and playing, and now you're transitioning to your Major League Baseball career. What's that transition been like, just – playing time, the hand and whatnot, and trying to stay ready?
Yeah. So after Omaha, I took some time off to kind of let my hand fully heal and make sure there were no question marks with that. And after that, it was just kind of, transitioning into what I could do and what I couldn't do. So as soon as my hand was healed, I was able to get back into playing and kind of, get back in shape. So once I was able to do everything, we kind of hit the ground running so I could, get in playing shape again. But it's been, awesome being down here, and getting the x-rays from the Tennessee medical staff was a breeze as well. And, they were so cooperative in the process of the draft too. So at the end of the day, like, I'll say it, 100 times, like, we had the best medical staff in the country with Woody and Dr. Klink. And I think they're so behind the scenes that they don't get the kind of recognition that they deserve. But at the end of the day, like, they're the best in the business. And, they helped me out just as much as putting me back on the field in season as they did, making sure I was good to go for the draft and everything like that, making sure teams knew that I was healthy.
Hey, speaking of that, how crazy was that sequence, and how crazy was it, and on your part, on your end, the next, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after that, after you first took that, and everybody remembers it, you take that fastball right off the top of the hand. What was that process like for you, and did it occur to your mind that your season might be over right then when that happened?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely something that, you know, when we didn't take my batting glove off on the field, but when we got back in the training room, and like the batting glove would barely come off because my hand was so swollen. And when I looked at it, I was like, yeah, it's broken. Like I didn't even want to go get an x-ray. But we ended up getting an x-ray like during the game. And it wasn't broken on the x-ray. So I was like, okay, cool. Like it might just be a really bad hand contusion. I played the next weekend at A&M, played well at A&M, and then came back. And the Tuesday before that midweek, like I couldn't even pick my bat up. And I was like, well, this is a problem. And so, you know, we went and got an MRI on it, and he found there were two fractures, one of my fifth metacarpal and one of my fourth. So like my pinky finger and my ring finger. And so at that point it was like, okay, you know, what's the timetable? That was my first question, was what's the timetable? Cause if my season's gonna be over, I'd rather know. And they were like, okay, so, you know, depending on how you heal, they thought like 3-4 weeks. So I was supposed to come back. Arkansas was the original week if I were to not play at A&M, but since I played at A&M, it was the weekend after Arkansas. But we got, you know, Tennessee has incredible resources. So we had a bone stem machine that I would do every day. And then just working with Woody every day, it was something that, like, it wasn't like we were trying to rush it, but at the same time, like, we weren't trying to take it easy. You know, it's not like it was February when I did it. Yeah. So coming back a week early was something that, you know, it wasn't, you know, when I brought it up to them, they were kind of like, no, at first. And like, it was a hard no at first. And then I was like, okay, well, just let me hit, like, let me practice, you know, let me do all of this stuff so I can just show you that I can do it. And if you ask me if I was 100% when I played against Arkansas, I would say no. And I think the doctors would say no as well. But at the end of the day, like, losing on Friday night and like knowing and watching and knowing there was nothing I could do about it kind of hurt more than anything. Like, and so I was playing on Saturday regardless. I think it didn't really matter how I felt when I woke up. It didn't matter how it felt before the game. Like, I was playing. And I would never put my team in a position to like where I would play hurt enough to hinder their performance. And I didn't think I would. And so I told Coach V I was good to go. And that's kind of how the series of events unfolded after that. And then, you know, we were just kind of taking it day by day at that point. We taped it up really heavily. I'm pretty sure you, like, everybody could see it. There's a ton of tape on my hand for up until like right after the SEC tournament, I believe. So, you know, once I stopped playing with tape, I believe it was in the regional. Then I was like, okay, like, we're getting better. And each x-ray we got, it just kept getting better. So I got, you know, weekly x-rays on it, and we were just like, okay, like, it's getting better. That's all I was worried about. I wasn't worried about it being healing. I was just trying to get, make sure it was getting better and getting better. And then Evo Shield was incredible, sending us the hand guard that I wore on my right hand. And our ops guy, Chad Zirk, was incredible getting that, you know? So at the end of the day, like, we minimized the risk as much as we could. And that was good enough for me. Like, if, you know, if God wanted me to break my hand even more, then I would have got hit again. But at the end of the day, like, I didn't. And so, you know, it ended up being really well. I ended up playing pretty well with broken hand. So at the end of the day, I always be able to hang my hat on that, I guess. But, you know, it was fun, and I wouldn't change it. I don't think I would change anything that happened this season, because it was so special. And, you know, it was everything in between that made it special. But, you know, doing that and coming back and seeing how the guys responded to me coming back, I think it was awesome.
Let's go back to the season, man. And what a just interesting, as somebody that covers it, it was very wild, to say the least, once the fans started getting involved as well. And because of COVID and whatnot, it took a while for that to happen. Like, it wasn't going to happen right when y'all start the season. But the university slowly started figuring out how to get more people back into the stands. And you were already, you know, the team was already, you know, had a huge following because of what y'all had done. But what did it mean to you to step back on the field, even the beginning of the season, just because of how everything went down the previous year, where everything was kind of, you know, it ended so abruptly for you guys? What was that thought process when you're like, okay, we get to play baseball now?
Could you hear that question? Sorry.
No, you're okay. No, I was talking about, so, you know, going back to when you were able to step on the field for this past season, knowing how abruptly y'all season ended last year, what was that feeling like for you being able to just put everything behind you and how last year ended and just be able to play baseball?
Oh, it was great. I think starting on the road was something that if you asked a lot of us, I think we would say that that was so beneficial for us to be in that kind of environment. And Georgia Southern's, it's not like a Mississippi State in terms of fans, but you know, it's not a, you know, nice environment. Like it's a tough place to play and, you know, the fans are right on top of your dugout. So at the end of the day, like that helped us more than anything, but I think we were just excited to get back out there. I think it was a ton of fun for us. And I was telling somebody about it earlier in the facility today that, you know, it was just extremely fun what we did. You know, it was like, it all went by in a flash, but everything that we did, it was like we were just making memories for the entire season. We weren't blowing guys out. We weren't winning like 7-2. Like, pretty sure we hit 7 walk-off homers this year. Like, that's something that just doesn't happen very often. And I think, you know, it was awesome that the fans got involved because that just made it even more fun. And Coach, you can see Coach V rallied around him, Coach Kivett at first base. Like, you know, when the fans get into it and with a fan base as passionate as the University of Tennessee, like, it's a tough place to play in Lindsey Nelson now. And it will be for a really long time. Because, you know, as long as number 22 is the head coach of the University of Tennessee, like, they're never going to be, like, far behind anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. That dude can recruit as good as anybody. That staff's as good as anybody. And so at the end of the day, if the fans stay behind the team and support them for an entire year and you guys get to experience, like, an entire year, you know, like the reporters would, like the journalists, you know, you guys experience almost every year with us and it's extremely fun. But when you bring the fans into it and you get block parties and you host super regionals, and you host regionals and, you know, we turn the SEC tournament orange. Hoover's not a small stadium, but before the game started, I couldn't point out one Arkansas fan that I saw in that stadium. So at the end of the day, like we have the most passionate fan base and I think they made it a lot more fun because they were so engaged into it. And you see teams that are really good, like Florida, in their regional didn't have any fans. And it's just like, you know, why? But at the end of the day, like, you know, the fans made it so much more fun to come to work every day. Like it was unbelievable that they got into it. And I'm glad that they got to experience it with us because they were a huge part of it.
Hey, what is, take us behind the scenes just for a minute. Tennessee lost Ross Kevitt this offseason, went to Houston, but you know, with Frank Anderson there and Q and Elander still there and with Tony, what was the coaching staff like? You know, you don't have to tell all the crazy stories, but how much will you remember in for the rest of your career be able to rely on this staff that was at Tennessee that helped you? And not just talking about Tony, because we all, you know, we know how he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the videos that you see of Coach V are kind of a great description of who he is. He doesn't do it for videos. He doesn't do it for anybody, you know, I would say but us or for himself, you know, like what you see is what you get and it's genuine and he shows up to the field every day and, you know, he shows up with energy. And I think talking to players down here that went to different schools and I'm just like, dude, like I love Tony V. I would run through a wall for that man any day of the week. And I think any of the players would because he shows up and I think he brings a different meaning to having someone's back. And I think you can kind of see it on TV and you can see it in the stadium. Like, that dude would go to war with any of us any day of the week. And I think that's why we go to war with him whenever he wants us to. And so, and Coach Elander and Coach Anderson and Coach Q, like they're all such, like they're so young except for Coach A, that poor guy, but you know, they're young. So they bring a different kind of energy and they know the game so well. And Coach B just lets his coaches coach. And so at the end of the day, like you have so many options and so many people that you can go to that, I think it's second to none when it comes to development. And I mean, just look at what we did. We had 7 draft picks this year and I don't think any of them were drafted out of high school, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think any of them were. And at the end of the day, like it just goes to show you what Coach V's building, you know, like he's building an empire at the University of Tennessee. And when that stadium's done, it's going to be one of the best. I've seen the drawings for it. It's going to be one of the best in the country. And it's going to be exciting for Tennessee fans to show up to watch games.
Hey, before I have 2 more questions for you, before I get, I'll save the interesting one for the last. When you, since you're an alumni now of Tennessee in baseball, when you look and you've traveled around and gotten to see so many interesting stadiums in the Southeastern Conference, you know, I point out like, you know, Texas A&M's pretty dialed up in a sense, Mississippi State, just wild looking. Florida just put together, you know, their brand new stadium. I'm interested in your thoughts on what Tennessee could do, just as a former player, to make things, I guess, more, they can't get any more lively, but to kind of just bring it all in at Tennessee. What could they do to that stadium, in your opinion, as a former recruit and as a former player?
I just think they need to add seats to it. At the end of the day, like, it was awesome seeing that many fans, but we should never have to have a block party for a Super Regional. And that's nobody's fault. It's not, you know, Danny White's fault. It's not Coach V's fault or anybody. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a really old saying, like, if you build it, they'll come. But we haven't even built it, and they're here, you know. And so when we build it, they will come. But they're not going to come. They've already been here. So we're building it for the fans, and we're building it for us. And at the end of the day, like, I don't think you'll ever be able to put enough seats in there to where you won't have people outside. But at the end of the day, I just think they needed to add seats to it. I don't think our facilities are as bad as people think. Like, we don't need the world, you know, to work out. And we have a weight room, and, you know, we have a really nice hitting facility, and we have all the data we need. And our video guys, Coach McCann and Tyler Kraft, who were big in our video, like, they have what they need, and they get us what we need. And our nutrition, our team room is great. But the one thing that we wanted was, we just want, you know, enough fans to fit in the stadium. So I think they're going to add seats. I know they are, but at the end of the day, like, I don't think they'll ever be able to put enough in there for Tennessee fans. I just hope they can kind of maximize it and get as many fans in there as they can. Because Coach V, like I said, is building something extremely special. And I know that Tennessee fans are going to want to be a part of it.
Hey, what was that? I got an add on to that. I was out in Omaha covering Tennessee, and the amount of Tennessee fans that I saw at the team hotel and the ones that travel, because it's so hard to do when it comes to Omaha, because you don't know how long you're going to be out there. So it's kind of like, okay, do you go a day, 2 days? But What was that like for you guys as players? Because Tony Vitello has mentioned it a bunch of times, just having that fan support and knowing that the guys travel out there, you know, with you to cheer you guys on. And what was that experience like in Omaha?
Well, it was something that I'll remember for the rest of my life. And I say that genuinely. So it was actually a crazy story. I was walking onto the elevator with Chad Dallas, who was my roommate on the road, you know, one of my best friends. And the elevator opens on, I want to say we were on like the sixth or seventh floor. Like, we were up there. And we heard the fans in the lobby on the sixth, seventh floor. And I was like, there's no way that many fans showed up. And we stepped out of the elevator, and it was like, I'm telling you, it was a scene that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. Like, I wish I could have taken a video of it with my phone. But I was still kind of in shock a little bit. But yeah, they showed out big time. And at the end of the day, I expected nothing less from them, but yeah, they showed out big time, and it was something I'll never forget. And their support all season, something I'll never forget.
All right. It's hard to break down. Last question. It's hard to break down because there were so many moments. But if you had to give me 2 to 3 moments this past season that were like, just kind of blew your mind in a sense, I know it's hard to narrow down, but can you narrow it down to 2 to 3?
I mean, the entire country knows what number one is going to be. Drew Gilbert's walk off in the regional, I think it's something that you won't ever see that again. I promise you won't ever see it again. And then number two, walking LSU off twice in the same day. That was sick. And then number three, I mean, I'll never forget the dog pile to go to Omaha for the rest of my life. I mean, that was so awesome. And something that not a lot of people knew, and I didn't like that the fans booed Coach Maneri, but I guess his comments, yeah, I get it. But the LSU players during that game, like, once it got down to where you kind of had an idea what was going on, I mean, they were some of the most gracious dudes ever, man. Like, you know, they were like, I hope you guys kill it in Omaha. Like, they're such nice dudes. And so when it came down to it, that dog pile felt so much better knowing that it wasn't like going back and forth game, you know, like, it felt so much better to enjoy that with my guys and not worry about what the other team's doing. And that's something I'll remember for the rest of my life, being on the bottom of that dog pile.
Hey, how do you even write a script better than that Gilbert shot?
Can't.
You can't.
I wasn't even on the field. I was in the locker room. It's actually a funny story. I got a hit to lead off the ninth, I believe. And then I was standing out there. I got sub run for, or pinch run for, and then I'm standing in the dugout, and then whoever hits after me, I went in the locker room, and then Max got a hit. And then I come back out for Liam got a hit. And then I come back out for Max, and Max gets out, and I'm like, nah. So I went back in the locker room, and then Rucker got a hit. And I was like, well, I guess I can't leave the locker room now. And so I'm standing in the hallway, like literally just praying with my head on the wall. And I heard the ping and everybody went nuts. And I was like, there's no way he just hit a grand slam. Like, there's no way. And I walk out, everybody's running out of the dugout. And I'm like, this is unreal. I almost passed out. I was screaming so loud.
Wow. That is insane. So you weren't even paying. You were trying to pay attention with your ears, but you weren't mm-hmm. paying attention in the dugout, which is.
Yeah, we were getting hits while I was in the locker room, so I couldn't mess up the mojo.
Yeah, superstition.
You know,
yeah.
I was being a team guy, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. That completely makes sense. Connor, listen, man, congratulations to you. It's been a privilege covering you. Look forward to doing this now in the major leagues for you. And we wish all the best to you. And thank you so much for joining in. And good luck with all your training, getting ready to figure out where you're going next in your career.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. If you need anything, you know, just reach out and I'll do everything I can. I really appreciate it.
Connor, fantastic. Be well.